Welcome back to our Lessons on Grace. Greetings in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We're still talking about that amazing grace. How sweet the sound. I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1. Paul says, "You hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." I want to pause here for just a few moments. Paul says, "And you who were dead." He didn't say you were sick and needed healing. He didn't say you were half dead and needed to be revived. He didn't say you had lost your breath and needed a resuscitation. Paul says, "You're dead. You're dead. You need a resurrection. You need to be brought forth from the dead." We do know that Jesus can cause a dead man to live, to speak, to walk, to love again. And then I turn to Romans chapter 3, and I see Paul as he assumes the role of the coroner, and he describes the cadaver of the sinner. He said in verse 13, "Their throats are like open graves. They use their tongues for telling lies. The poison of vipers is on their lips. Their mouths are filled with cursing and blaspheming and hatred. Their feet are swift to shed blood." What a repulsive sight this would be to look upon. Throats like open graves, deceitful tongues, viper lips, mouths full of vulgarity, feet that march to do violence. And to sum it up, Paul presents the cause of it all. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Sin infects the entire person from head to foot. Not only does sin contaminate every human being, it contaminates the being of every human. Paul says it more clearly in later on in Romans when he says, "The wages of sin is death." Death is a fatal disease. Sin has sentenced us to a slow, painful death. Sin does to a life what shears does to a flower. A cut at the stem separates a flower from the source of life. Oh, it may look pretty for a while. The color may still be strong, but over a period of time, the leaves will wilt and fade and drop to the ground. No matter what you do, the flower will never live again. A dead flower has no life. A dead body has no life. A dead soul has no life. When we are cut off from God, the soul withers and dies. The consequences of sin is not a bad day. It's death of the soul. The sign of a dead soul is clear. Poison lips, cursing mouths, feet run to shed blood, eyes that do not seek God. When you read this, you understand how people can be so vulgar. Their soul is dead. You can see how some religions can be so oppressive. They have no life. You understand how the drug peddler can sleep at night, and the dictator can live with his conscience. He has none. He's dead. The finished work of sin is to kill the soul. Now that we can see the problem, can we see the solution? The solution is not more government or education, not more makeup for the courts, nor is the solution more religion, more man-made rituals and man-made doctrines. None of this can reconnect the flower to the stem. We don't need more religion. We need a miracle. We need someone to raise the dead. That someone is introduced in verse 4 in chapter 2 of Ephesians. Before I read that verse, I'd like to pause and warn you to prepare yourself, because it is simple. No need to brew up a concoction. No elaborate plans are necessary. Complicated treatments are unneeded. Tortuous hours of rehabilitation is not required. God's solution for our malady is simple. Listen to verse 4 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. But God, I like that. Paul says, you were dead, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead, there's that word again, dead in sins, has he brought us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Aren't you happy that the apostle didn't describe the condition without showing God's solution? You need not worry. Nothing could have kept Paul from doing this. Paul is always willing to throw back the covers and shine in the light of God's word and God's revelation and announce that, but God, who is rich in mercy, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace we are saved, and that not of ourselves. Any other approach other than by grace is a bartering system. It's you saying, I do this, and God will do that. I'm either saved by works, the things that I do, or I am saved by knowledge, things that I know. By contrast, Christianity offers no negotiations at all. Mankind is not the negotiator. Man has no grounds from which to negotiate. Those close to God understand this. Those nearest to Him never boast about their deeds. In fact, they are disgusted by the thought of self-salvation. They describe legalism in repulsive terms. Isaiah said it like this, our righteousness are like filthy rags of cloth. Paul equated our religious credentials with the piles of manure. He said, I do count them but dung.
I know actions speak much louder than any words can say. It's easy to express your love, then turn and walk away. But when Jesus said, I love you, to a world that was lost, he had his say with love displayed from an old